Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Ken Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome, everybody, to another edition of Geek Cave Podcast Comics. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
Guys, I love Batman. We all know this. But I can't get over the fact that he's in his 40s and still lives at home in his parents' basement. Welcome to comics.
Oh,
too soon for an 80-year-old fictional character?
No. I just didn't want that joke.
I want to take a minute to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. With free shipping on all orders within the U.S., plus great t-shirts, sweatshirt, and hoodie designs on everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of Sega, Nintendo, RoboCop, Dragon Ball, or something in between, find something for you at Shirtosaurus.com. Order now and make sure it arrives in time for the holidays. And Gamefly, your destination for new and used video games, now with membership options for everyone, including an elite plan. So you always, say it's capitalized, so I gotta do that. Always get the newest games on a budget plan that helps you save some cash. Plus, the store carries Legos and some of the most popular Arcade 1 cabinets. Gamefly has thousands of titles for you to choose from, and you can keep as long as you like without worrying about late fees. When you're done, send it back in the prepaid envelope and get a new one. Pay a lot less for in-store prices and keep it forever. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. Well, boys, it's that time of year again.
Mm-hmm.
When reindeer's thoughts of does turn to fancy and...
Then the three of us get together and we talk about the good, the bad, and everything in between, but more on that later.
Yes, folks, it is time for our annual Crystal Steamer Awards.
And Golden Justins.
And the Golden Justins, yes. This year we're doing something a little different. Since Geek Cave 3.0 has shied away from news, at least in the main podcast, we're going to award the stuff to each other. We're going to talk about the... In each of the three segments, we have our bit. The long box, the pile of shame, the random movie review... We're going to talk about the best and worst of those. Things that really hit the mark and things that blew up in our face. But.
Yeah.
That's later. First. Hey, Chad.
Yo.
Got anything?
This is Chad's manga moment.
Gentlemen, after a year of reading manga, becoming thoroughly confused, my question today is, are the animal ears really necessary to show an emotion? I mean, we've got snot bubbles, bloody noses, falling down, pulsing veins, and a flexible detail in our artwork to indicate all kinds of things. Why do we need surprise cat ears? Things are growing great. Everyone's having a good time. Suddenly, cat ears. What the heck, man?
This has been Chad's manga moment.
Now, how am I supposed to follow that?
The way you usually do, I guess.
See, that's why first time goes before this, so I don't have to follow Chad.
Yeah, well, surprise!
You've got the funnier intro music.
Fair.
So before we get into that, has anybody read anything new? Let's give Darren a palate cleanser. Anybody got any reviews they want to go over?
I wish I did.
Superman 78 is still good. I'm in issue 4 right now. Brainiac has somehow been outsmarted by Lex freaking Luthor, because that's a thing that would happen, I guess. You know, we talked about Batman having plot armor, but Lex Luthor has freaking IQ armor or some bullcrap. But it's still an entertaining book. It's still an entertaining read. I'm waiting for the next issue of Batman 89 to drop.
Me too.
I don't know if it's been delayed. I don't know if it's been delayed due to, you know, 2021 being 2021. But hopefully that'll come out soon, just in time for my Christmas reading. Justice League Infinite has taken a weird turn because there was a place in the multiverse where Wonder Woman and Darkseid were romantic. And I don't like that very much. But the storytelling still feels like it's right out of the DCAU, and the art is still great. And having multiple Superman look like they're going to fight and then immediately just stop, look at each other, we should team up. And that's how that ends. No fisticuffs or anything like that. Clark just thinking, this is stupid, why are we fighting? And then they all just decide to work together is, again, another reminder of why this book, it gets Superman so right. So if you're a Superman fan, if you're a DC Animated Universe fan, Justice League Infinite's still worth picking up.
All right. Hey, Darren, did you do anything fun lately?
Hold on, let me stand up.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
It's Darren's first time.
Mother I told you be gentle.
Floor is yours, man.
This is the episode I'm going to have future employers stay away from, just for that intro. Alex Ross.
Yes.
Okay.
Alex Ross is a great artist.
Yes, he is.
Absolutely.
Jim Kruger is a good storyteller. He wrote Justice, which Alex Ross did. He's done a few other things. So I have a question for you, gentlemen. Mm-hmm. How can a book by Alex Ross and Jim Kruger end up so bloody boring?
Ooh.
Let's talk about Project Superpowers, shall we?
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Yeah. This was a Valiant comic, I believe. No, Dynamite. It starts with an old man named Bruce Carter being haunted by a ghost that is literally the American flag. And that's where we start.
See, and then the bridge turned into a snake.
Yeah,
and then things got weird.
Yeah, this really does feel like G.I. Joe the movie at some points, and I'm talking the animated one. So Bruce was once a Captain America type without any of the charisma, called the Fighting Yank. And I'm just going to hover on that name for a second. Yeah, during World War II, he had a secret mission to steal Pandora's box. Yes, that one. Although it was more of a jar. From the Nazis, because the Nazis had everything back then.
As you do,
and,
yes.
The Holocaust and death camps, by the way, well, those were actually to serve a metaphysical purpose as a sacrifice for supernatural power so they could open the box. And Chad has removed his glasses.
I am a calm blue ocean. I am a calm blue ocean. I am a calm blue ocean.
I am not.
So it turns out, in order to close Pandora's urn, the CIA has chosen the Fighting Yank for this mission. It seems that the only way to trap evil in the urn again is to put some great goodness in the urn, you know, good and evil. And so his job is to trap all of his teammates, the Wish.com Justice Society of America, and trap them one by one in the urn. And the world believes they're dead. Naturally, this turned out not to work. The issue ends with Bruce setting out to right his wrongs because now there's a greater evil, and the American flag ghost tells him you should probably let your friends out, and you need to go talk to this... Oh, my God. Okay. There's a Dr. Fate type who's also kind of like the Dalai Lama, but he's green, and so his name is the Green Llama.
I'm sorry. Please continue.
Yeah, so he has to go and set out to meet the Green Llama to get his friends out of Pandora's jar. And he knows that he'll probably die doing so because his friends are going to be very angry having been trapped in a jar for 60 years. You know, some things just defy words, defy description. The art is good. I'll give it that. The art doesn't defy description. I mean, it's Alex Ross. But the writing, I don't know. I don't know where they were going with this and what they wanted to do. Other than that, y'all, some of the word balloons are attached to the wrong characters. As in,
huh.
there's dialogue that is clearly not supposed to be coming out of this person, but it is. And the fact that it happens more than once in the debut issue is even worse.
Okay.
Other times there are panels that are completely out of order. Again, as if Wish.com also put the book together. Some of the characters on the other half of the page just weren't paying attention, it seems, so they completely missed their story cue because, again, this is just a jumbled mess. I hated this book so much. I mean, I've read worse things, but this was, it was one of those things where it was just competent enough to get me to finish it, but it was also just incompetent enough for me to wonder if I was having a stroke while I was reading it. Project Superpowers, on the first time scale, would get a, I'm sure it happens to everybody.
By the way, the Fighting Yank, I think that was the nickname I gave myself in high school.
That's all I got.
Yanking in the morning, yanking in the evening, yanking in.
I'd like to thank our sponsors for their continued support.
Oh, no, we'll get back to them. I still got something I want to talk about.
No, Lord.
Kent?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's Long Box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
So, boys, a few years ago, I did a long box on Santa. Remember this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it is high time that I do the other side of the scale. Today, I am talking about Krampus.
All right.
All right.
In the final days of the 17th century, Sinterklaas, the first Santa, found himself overwhelmed by the children asking for gifts on the eve before Christmas. A review of these children revealed that a significant portion of them were not good. In an effort to cull the undesirables from the annual ceremony, Sinterklaas turned to a forbidden darker magic and brought forth a creature born of the shadows, the Krampus. And for three centuries, the Krampus assisted Sinterklaas and others across Europe in helping punish the wicked children of Earth. But as the years went on and things changed, a decision was made to do away with the punishment side of things. So Krampus was captured and imprisoned at the North Pole. And that's how it's kind of remained. Until now.
Bum, bum, bum!
So, the book opens in Italy, where we see a man sort of dressed as Santa Claus named Belsnickel. He's entering a tomb, and he's on some sort of mission, where he is attacked by sugar plum fairies.
What?
the fairies beat him into submission, into a coma, actually. They open a crypt and they steal a set of bones. Then we get to meet the society, the secret society of Santa Clauses. You see, there's not just Santa Claus. Every part of the world has their own version of what Santa is. The United States has Kris Kringle. In England, they have Father Christmas. In Finland, I think, where the Santa mythos started, they have Sinterklaas. Every area of the world has their own version of Santa. Well, they all join forces into the secret society of Santas. Apparently, the bones that were stolen were the bones of Saint Nicholas. And it's these bones that provide the Santas their power. And with the bones stolen, they no longer have their abilities. They test this by trying to go up through a chimney. One of them catches on fire because, you know, fireplace. Then a reindeer crashes through the roof. Because they can't fly anymore.
Oh, dear Lord.
It's evident that something is very, very wrong. And they no longer have their magics. And they need help. Because now they're stuck at the North Pole. They have no way of getting back to their respective countries. Well, there is another option, one of them says. So they turn to Krampus. Who, when they ask for his help, he delightfully tells them to go fuck themselves. Because he's watching Downton Abbey, and he is very enamored with this storyline. They offer him his freedom should he assist them and succeed, and he's, you know what, fine. As soon as they open the cell door, they attach a naughty bomb to him, which is measures an individual's naughty and nice levels. And if it goes too high into the naughty, he will go boom. It's very festive looking. It's red and green with flashy lights. It's, you know, it fits the Santa motif.
It sounds exactly like something a Santa would do.
Yeah. So, and after all these years, they still kept his old sleigh and Stuttgart, his wolfhound, which pulls his sleigh. So he gets on his sleigh and takes off. Father Christmas, the head of the Secret Society of Santa Clauses, informs Krampus that they'd heard of an attempt to steal the skeleton weeks ago, but they kept it secret because they wanted to investigate more. Well, okay. So this is something that's kind of been going on. The Santas go to turn to the elves to figure out a way to get home, and then realize that the magic, which has kept the elves on the cutting edge of technology all these years, doesn't work anymore. So now they're reverting back to their original forms and getting dumber.
No good.
With such wonderful things as, does anyone know how to load a friggin' app on this thing? And one of them catches a pile of baby dolls on fire. And for the love of God, can I just carve a wooden duck? Is that too much to ask? So Krampus goes to see Belsnickel in the hospital, figures out that Sugar Plum Fairies were involved because he can smell their sickening sweetness on them. And tracks down a storage unit that Belsnickel had. It's covered in these weird snowflake runes and stuff like that. He gets in, and it's just, it's a conspiracy wall, y'all. There are pictures and articles and hastily scrawled notes and pieces of string tied to all of them. It is cuckoo bananas. So while he's there trying to decipher this, he is attacked by the Nutcracker.
No.
This, a...
Head cocked to the side in confusion?
Yeah. An animatronic 6 to 7 foot tall Nutcracker. With a sword, as you do.
Hmm.
They battle, and Krampus gets away. He grabs the Nutcracker, flies up in a sleigh and drops him, and he breaks, and he manages to get away. One of the pieces of paper he managed to grab before he got away had a set of coordinates on it. So he's talking to the Santas, and they tell him, you know, where it is, and he goes there, and then they figure out that it's actually the location of Permafrost, home of Old Man Winter. Well, after a bit of a tussle and some talking, Krampus figures out that Old Man Winter isn't the one behind this. But it might be Old Man Winter's son, Jack Frost. Because he left a long time ago, didn't want to take over the family business. And Old Man Winter says, listen, Jack's just a boy. Please take mercy on him. And if you find him, tell him to come home. I miss him. So Krampus goes on the hunt and finds in Italy, snow, and follows it to a nightclub where Jack is running and basically an eternal rave. It's during this time that the Sugar Plum Fairies have been asked to go to the Florida Everglades to find somebody to stop Krampus. And guess who they turn to? None other than Doc Holliday. Yes, that Doc Holliday. So, jumping back to Krampus, he and Jack have a not-so-polite discussion, you know, Krampus throwing him up against a wall. It's determined that Jack isn't involved in all of this, but is able to help him decipher a clue that says, okay, where you need to go is Arizona. That is where shit went down, and that's where you're going to find the big break. Back at the North Pole, Sinterklaas and some of the other European Santa Clauses have decided to start a coup and get rid of Old Man Winter as the head of the Secret Society of Santa Clauses. Because Father Christmas was the one that let Krampus out, and Sinterklaas being the first Santa, and he's not willing to let you forget that, knows the evil of the Krampus. So, cut to Arizona, where we see Krampus trying to figure out what's going on, and on a cactus he sees the more strange snowflake ruins. And then he encounters Doc Holliday. A fight ensues, and Krampus falls down an old well shaft, where he finds the remains of one of the Santa Clauses. Mos Crăciun, the Romanian Santa. But he's at the North Pole. Well, turns out he's an imposter and been spying. It is actually Mos Gărila. Now, you see, Mos Gărila was, during the Cold War, Mos Crăciun was Santa. Well, when the Cold War started, the Soviet Union wanted to do away with the older, frailer version of Santa. So they got rid of him and implemented a younger, stronger, more masculine version of Santa, Mos Gărila. Well, as the Cold War died and Romania took back its independence, they got rid of him and brought back the old ways, and now Mos Gărila is very angry that he has been just thrown out into the cold, and he wants revenge on all the Santas. He is the one that is behind this. He has taken the skeleton, and he has captured Old Man Winter, and he is going to become the Santa Supreme and cover the world in snow and ice. And he tries to talk Krampus into joining him. He even snaps his fingers and releases the Naughty Bomb because he has Santa's powers now. Well, this doesn't bode well with Krampus because he doesn't want to cow to anyone. So a fight ensues. Krampus is about to be overrun by the Sugar Plum Fairies when Doc Holliday shows back up to assist him because, well, he's not taking a side either one way or the other. But now the world is starting to become covered in snow and ice, and, well, he's kind of got a stake in that. Then the other Santas show up, and a big brawl ensues between Sugar Plum Fairies and Santas and Krampus and Doc Holliday. Mos Gărila escapes on one of the Santa sleigh with reindeer, and Krampus jumps on his sleigh with Stuttgart and follows him. he attaches the naughty bomb to Moscalilla, rips off his arm, jumps off the sleigh, the naughty bomb explodes. End of bad guy. The skeleton is returned, the Santas get their power back, and Krampus goes on about his way. Apparently that snowflake rune that kept popping up was a ward to keep the Santas from figuring out what was going on. So Krampus has that glyph tattooed on his arm so the Santas can never track him again. And he goes about his way punishing the wicked children of the world. But there's one thing there was like one loose end he couldn't tie up. Why did Moscalilla want to cover the world in snow and ice? Well, there's been a more secret, darker figure throughout this that we've only heard the voice of. Turns out the mastermind behind everything was Frosty the Snowman. And he'll be back again someday. So there's everything you never wanted to know about Krampus.
You're right. It's everything I never wanted to know.
And more.
Yeah.
I actually enjoyed this book, guys. This was fun.
Oh, it sounds fun. It sounds like something that'd be fun to experience firsthand, but experiencing it secondhand is not so fun.
Well, boys, I think it's time we get down to the real reason why we're here today.
Yep.
The Crystal Steamers and the Golden Justins.
Illustrious.
For this year's long boxes. Now, you should have received a list of every long box I've done this year.
Yep. So,
for the listeners at home, I'm going to run through them. Starting with January moving down, I did The Orb, Howard the Duck, Howard the Duck's Rogues Galleries, The Worst X-Man Ever, Superman, John Kent, Obnoxio and Ice Cream. You got a double feature that year, that month. Devil Dinosaur.
Felt like a year.
Cosmo the Space Dog. Rex the Wonder Dog. The Pro. The Guardian Project. And today, Krampus. Now, I need a little bit of clarification, because it was my job to pick the worst of all of these. Now, are we going by... Because I know which one was the worst one that I delivered, personally. Yeah. I know which one I did a bad job on.
Oh, no, we're not grading your performance. We're grading which of these is the absolute worst thing that you covered this year.
Ah, well, by that standard, then I think the Crystal Steamer has to go to the Guardian Project.
Oh my
God,
yes.
It was an ill-fated idea. It was executed so poorly that it never even got off the ground.
I hated it.
And as much as I loved watching Darren cringe every time I said, and now we're going to talk about,
It just kept going.
It did. Well, there are 30 teams in the NHL in the 90s. So, yeah. And I didn't even cover them all. So, that is the winner of the illustrious Crystal Steamer, The Guardian Project from 1992. Boys, it is up to you now to decide who gets the Golden Justin.
Yeah.
Do you have a nominee to start with, Darren? I definitely have a nominee.
Okay. I would nominate Worst X-Man Ever, because, by God, was this a fun story. It's a nice deconstruction of how silly it is that, Marvel characters never age, that kind of thing. It had a little bit of an explanation there. What really is the worst mutant power? How do they know if they can never use it? That kind of thing. So, Worst X-Man Ever was probably the one I had the most fun listening to and digging into.
Easily my favorite this year was the Howard the Duck Rogues Gallery. Because Howard the Duck is such a ridiculous protagonist
that he needs ridiculous antagonists. And that one was just full of straight up joy.
Well, Justin, it's up to you.
I'm honestly, I can go either way. And so I'm going to shift it back over to Justin.
Yeah.
You know, to pick between the two.
Honestly, I had a better time with Howard the Duck's Rogues Gallery.
Okay.
I mean, it was just a running list of what?
Now they can call themselves the award-winning Howard the Duck Rogues Gallery.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining us on this wonderful trip down memory lane. I want to take a moment to thank our sponsors, Shirt of Sore, sticking up clothing from your past so you can look rad today, and Gamefly Video Games Delivered. I also want to direct your attention to our other shows. You Want Me to Watch What? Geek Cave TLDR, when it pops up.
Yeah.
On YouTube, Retromantics and Geek Cave Plays. And Darren, don't we have something new coming out next month?
Yes, starting in January, the Week 3 podcast, where Justin and I get together once a month and, well, we talk about whatever the hell we want to talk about.
That is, yeah, that's accurate. And I think Darren is up first this month. Yeah, so you got to wait till the third week of every month, so it's not like there's going to be continuity.
No, but it means that you are guaranteed, in a normal month, you're guaranteed a Geek Cave podcast every week. Now, if you're in one of those weird months that have 5 weeks, well, I don't know what we can do for you. Just watch our Twitch channel.
You just got to keep on writing in and asking for the Geek Cave wives.
Yes.
To get their stuff together.
Yeah, we've thrown several ideas at them, but so far none have stuck.
Like the undercooked spaghetti of our lives, nothing is sticking to the wall.
Well, it is now time for the Out of Context comic panel. We see Superman giving a super massage to Santa Claus, who says, "I feel like I'm going through a meat grinder." Superman says, "Great, that shows we're making progress." For Darren, Chad, and Kent, I'm Justin. This has been the wonderful world of comics, and remember, everyone's a geek for something.